Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That was the psalm today at the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Welcome to Jesus 911 Monday Show. My name is Jesse Romero. We got Paul Clay. Paul, how you doing, my friend? Hope you had a great weekend.
Oh, Jess, I had a wonderful weekend. Great weekend, and I'm happy to be here Monday morning.
On duty, 10-8, ready to go.
Yes, sir.
I just want to just remind people that today's the feast day of St. Irenaeus. As Catholics, every single day, there's essentially a saint that that we extol and we remember and ask for his intercession. So St. Irenaeus, pray for us. So who was St. Irenaeus? In his youth, Irenaeus heard the preaching of St. Polycarp, another saint and martyr. St. Polycarp was one of the disciples of John the Evangelist. And the early experiences of St. Irenaeus guided his powerful preaching and his pen to write against the Gnostic heretics in a document that he wrote called Adversus Heresies. It's one of the classic Christian apologetic works, and St. Irenaeus convincingly showed that the true faith could be traced in a direct line to the original witnesses of the resurrection, the 12 apostles. And Gnosticism could not make this claim. St. Irenaeus, his writings also provide early testimony of the canonicity of the four Gospels and the primacy of the See of Peter. And he also served as a bishop over in Gaul, which is modern-day France, Gaul-Lyons, for over 20 years. And he died in the year 202 AD. St. Irenaeus, pray for us.
Amen.
Paul, I think this could turn out to be good news in the Catholic Church. I'm reading here an article put out by Catholic Vote, Brian Birch, a very good, solid Catholic organization that's very trustworthy. And the article tells us that some Democrats are suggesting stripping church tax-exempt status over the Holy Communion debate. And now, if they do this, I think this will be the best thing to happen to our church in America. I'll tell you why, because it's time we cut the umbilical cord from the body of the Democrat Party. So if they're threatening the Catholic Church with, you're going to lose your nonprofit status if you proceed with this document, well, guess what? I think that's a good thing. What do you say?
I have a slightly different take on it, Jess.
Okay, go ahead.
And my take is understanding that, of course, they're going to use this over the church's head in order to try to force the church into compliance with their worldview.
Yes.
And, there's no doubt about that. But even if that were to take place, we have so many problems right now going on in the church with people being unfaithful to Catholic dogma and Catholic doctrine. And I'm talking about people that are that should know better. Yeah, I'm talking about people that are leaders in the church. Yep. That this tax exempt status threat is really not the main focus for us, because it's hard for me to believe that if they do that, all of a sudden, most of our priests are going to start proclaiming the word of God in a way that they haven't before, because they should have been doing that all along.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think both of us, both of our positions don't one doesn't exclude the other.
No.
But it's a short little blurb here that's put out by Catholic Vote. It says, Congressman Jared Huffman, a Democrat from California, has suggested stripping the Catholic Church of his tax-exempt status as punishment for not giving communion to pro-abortion political leaders. He tweeted this, if they're going to politically weaponize religion by rebuking Democrats who support women's reproductive choice, that means abortion, then a rebuke of their tax-exempt status may be in order, close quote. Somebody else tweeted, 60 Catholic House Democrats respond, quote, the sacrament of Holy Communion is central to the life of practicing Catholics, and the weaponization of the Eucharist to Democratic lawmakers for their support of a woman's safe and legal access to abortion is contradictory. Huffman's the second member of Congress to float the idea of punishing the church in this way after the U.S. bishops voted last week to move forward with a draft and a teaching document on proper reception of the Eucharist. By the way, that thing's been nixed. It's not going to happen anyhow. So I don't know what these Democrats are worried about. The bishops basically tabled that because they had pressure from those in the Roman Curia, those in the Vatican.
This proves our point that we made a little bit earlier.
Yeah. It says here, Congressman Ted Lieu shared a social media post last week which suggested the church should lose its tax-exempt status if it denies President Joe Biden the Eucharist. Lieu added a number of abusive comments of his own, calling the U.S. bishops partisan hypocrites, as well as demanding the Eucharist himself. So I don't know, Paul. Once again, we have low-information Catholics here that don't know the basic teachings of the church.
Yeah.
This is not the weaponization. Had this gone, you know, had the bishops proceeded with this, this is not the weaponization of the Eucharist. This is actually the salvation of their souls, because
a bishop,
a successor of the apostles, does not want somebody to receive the body and blood of Christ unworthily, lest they eat and drink to their own condemnation.
Jess, they mentioned in the article that this is contradictory. How? It's important to unpack what's being said here. Church discipline has been around since the church was established by Jesus.
Yes.
Flash,
yes.
The Eucharist has been weaponized ever since Christians in the church in Corinth became sick and began to die after many of them partook of the Holy Eucharist in an unworthily manner. So you could say the Eucharist has been weaponized all the way back then. So again, like you said, this is all about the saving of their souls. This is about mercy. This is about not letting them encounter the Eucharistic Christ, who is pure and wonderful, and uniting it together, you know, in a vessel filled with mortal sin.
Bingo, you nailed it. And Paul, you know, to be honest with you, with these 60 Democrat politicians, if they don't like what the Catholic Church teaches, guess what? They can join 39,999 other Protestant denominations out there. Nobody's forcing you to remain Catholic. It's
nope.
It's a matter of your free will.
Yep.
And again, the good bishops are clearly just looking out for the souls of these men, which they don't understand. They think it's being weaponized. They think it's political. No, it's not. But I'll tell you, one of the problems that we do face, and this is why oftentimes there's silence amongst the bishops, is because the bishops do receive large amounts of money from the Democrat Party, from Democrat coffers. Further, I'm looking at one article here. It says here, federal government gives USCCB, get this, don't fall off your chair, Paul, $2 billion a year.
Wow.
Now, it goes into their, like, you know, immigration reform, restorative justice, you know, all these social justice programs, Catholic Charities, Catholic this, Catholic Renew Service, this, that, all these social justice mechanisms under the USCCB, where they're able to collect large sums of money from the federal government. Well, guess what happens, Paul? You become beholden to the people that are paying your salary.
That's right.
And this is the danger of the bishops being too close and being allied. And this is why St. Paul warns us, 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yes. And Jess, so again, it tells me that, you know, they're going with the highest bidder here, because we see many, many, many of our clergy in our church who disregard the faithful and who marginalize traditional Catholicism in such a way that, you know, it's almost like, hey, if you don't like it, get out of the church. Well, why? Well, they don't need us. They don't need our money. They don't need our donations. Why? Because their coffers are fat. They've been bought out by Caesar. I hate to put it like that, but that's the way it seems in many of the cases.
Terry, Paul, we've seen this in church history before. This is known in Catholic history, and it's a very dangerous when you fall into it. It's called Caesaropapism.
Okay.
Caesaropapism is the idea in church history when the church combines itself with the secular government, and oftentimes the church loses. The church is beholden to the secular government. That's called Caesaropapism, and that's something that as Catholics, for 2,000 years, the church like falls into it in waves. And right now, I see the church in a Caesaropapism relationship with the world, including the Vatican, with the United Nations. And when the church marries the world, the church always ends up divorced.
Yep. I like the way you put that. And I can always depend on you just to put a label on it and explain to me what it is I'm thinking. And I like the saying Dr. Scott Hahn always says. He says, history doesn't repeat itself, but it rhymes. And in this case, Caesaropapism is rhyming. This has happened before. It's happening now. It just recapitulates and gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And here we are now on this huge stage in the end times. And we're seeing this push to corrupt the church.
Absolutely. Jesus 911, two-man car. We're going to talk about Karl Marx. Yep. Karl Marx and his hateful dream of atheism. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car. We're talking, Paul, you wanted to make a comment on the last thing we talked about, the Caesaropapism, the Democrats threatening the bishops?
Yeah, well, there was we're talking about the comments that were being made on Twitter, Jess, and there was a guy, his name, under Michelangelo Signoral. He says, the Catholic Church considers contraception, assisted human reproduction, and divorce and remarriage, which it views as adultery, happening every single day as sin, on par with abortion. Will these people be banned from communion? Well, let me give you the short answer. Yes, they will be banned from communion, but because they're guilty of mortal sin. But the longer answer is, no, they're not on par with abortion, okay? They are different than abortion. Abortion is a sin that is so egregious that at one point, well, it's still, a priest, before he can even, in confession, absolve you of your sin, he has to have permission from the bishop, or at least that's the way it used to be, Jess.
Yep, correct. Now they've relaxed it. Now the bishops have given all the priests their authority to forgive in confession the sin of abortion. But you're right, Paul. It was so egregious, I think, prior to Vatican II, you had to go to a bishop to get to have receive absolution, because that is such a serious... It's called one of the four sins that scream to heaven, scream God's vengeance to heaven.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk about one of the most evil people that ever lived on planet Earth. This guy was an antichrist with a small a. John the Apostle tells us that there's going to be many antichrists. Karl Marx was definitely an antichrist. And there's an article where it talks about... Karl Marx had this hateful dream of atheism. In other words, this guy was all about turning people against Christianity. Let me jump into the second paragraph and quote some things here. We'll go back and forth. It says, Marx was born in Trier, Prussia in 1818. His real name was Moses Mordecai Levi. Wow, beautiful Jewish names. Son of a Jewish rabbi. His father was a Jew who left the Jewish religion and turned to Christianity in 1824, when young Marx was 6 years old. Karl Marx was a confessed Christian. Karl Marx was heavily influenced by Moses Hess. Many people think Marx made the statement, religion is the opiate of the people. But it was actually Moses Hess that came up with this common day slogan, which is used by atheists. Moses Hess was an anarchist and wanted all out chaos. Marx's best friend, if you could call him that, because the master has only a slave, Karl Marx's best friend was Frederick Engels, and they were both from rich families. So, you know, Mike, it's funny, Paul, they never spent one day living under their socialist dream, their communist dream. Yeah, both these guys. So both these guys, Marx and Engels, did not care for the poor, but they aimed for power. And the goal was to destroy the current established system as well as all religions. So chaos was their tool. And that's exactly, Paul, what we see. And with Antifa and Black Lives Matter, they have taken Marxist principles, and they're all about bringing chaos to the United States. Any comments?
Yep. And, Jess, and I will comment and say, and that system that they're attempting to destroy and are destroying is the system that was established by God. When Jesus redeemed the world, he equipped his saints with gifts, and he commanded us to go out and subdue it and to bring them into the kingdom by the preaching of the gospel. And, you know, we hear it mentioned several times, Jess, over and over again, that we live in what's called a post-Christian era, because the world is kind of through with God, and they've made a decision that they're smarter than God and they know more than God. And so they're turning to philosophers like Karl Marx, who we've mentioned on other programs. Yes, we believe he was either demon possessed, most certainly oppressed by demons, but very possible possessed by demons. And he comes up with this system that marches through human history in the 20th century, and it kills literally millions of people. And so this system is what brought in the culture of death, among many other ills of that we're facing today.
Paul, and it's we have 150 years of popes condemning socialism and communism. 150 years. And to be honest, I'm going to be fair here. Pope Francis has just condemned or spoken ill about socialism one time in all his writings in 7 or 8 years. So he's probably the pope that has least spoken or condemned communism and socialism. I've only been able to find one quote where he condemned socialism/communism. He's been kind of quiet on the topic, but prior to him, this was the rally cry of the popes for 150 years. Going back to the article, it says Marx was a genius when it came to writing and thinking there are a few men, if any, who have existed on earth that walk next to his equal. His understanding of the social system is without doubt unparalleled in history. Many of his socialist ideas are used today in modern day society. He knew very well that his incredible talent to write was his gift. He knew what had to be done to get his ideas out to the public medium, so he started a newspaper. And it wasn't very long before it took off, and the proletariat, which is a word that he used all the time, which means the working class, he inspired by his newspaper and by his words to war against the authorities. So Karl Marx was all about setting up this tension called class warfare. And what he did is, now you have today the modern day, what I would call the modern day race hustlers, have taken Karl Marx's philosophy and they've poured it into race. So using Marx's philosophy, now they're starting race wars, but using Marxism basically as their interpretive grid to cause all this chaos that we're seeing right now. Paul?
Yeah. Because, and we think we talked about this on another show, Jess, where the reason why is they realized that a vibrant middle class here in America, it was not a ripe field for Marxist ideology. And so, but they understood about the racial tensions that were going on. It was attempted in the 60s, and now here we are again, you know, in the 21st century, dealing with this once again, this idea that, you know, America is evil because, you know, our laws are evil, our Constitution is evil, and all our founding fathers are evil, and we must destroy it because this is the system that allowed slavery. Jess, slavery has been around pretty much since humankind has been around. It did not originate in the United States, and as a matter of fact, it was imported here from Europe.
That's right, and it's still practiced right now in many countries, kind of like under the radar, like in Islamic countries. They still have what's called dhimmitude laws, which means that if you're a non-Muslim, you can be owned by Muslims. That's being practiced right now. But guess what? Nobody talks about that, Paul.
No, wink, wink. We don't talk about that. Why? Because number one, we only go after the systems that, you know, if you understand the spiritual realm and you understand that these are physical manifestations of the spiritual world and what's going on, the attack is against Christianity. It's because Christianity is the real McCoy.
That's right. It's, you know, Paul, talking about Karl Marx, by the people, if they don't know, he was a German. He was a 19th century German. And this guy's ideas, his Marxist ideas that he wrote in the Communist Manifesto, everywhere where the Communist Manifesto, you know, his idea was he wanted to build a utopia on Earth. Once again, the Tower of Babel. We're going to reach God on by our own means.
Yeah.
But everywhere that Karl Marx, this 19th century German, everywhere where his ideas have been implemented, it's resulted in catastrophes, mass murder, and it's given rise to some of the most brutal dictators in world history.
Yes, and human misery and suffering has been, you know, that's the fruit of that philosophical view. Jesus said, Jess, that we will know them by their fruits. And, you know, we need to open up and recognize the fruits of communism and understand that this Marxist idea, which is basically the brains behind communism, they're trying to push the world into slavery, into a worldwide communist viewpoint. I know you guys, you know, out there might be listening saying, no, not really. Really. We pay close attention to this stuff and it's happening right before our eyes.
In fact, on the last segment, I'll quote the Catechism, and I'm going to kind of support everything that we're saying right now with one or two paragraphs from the Catechism, which basically gave us a hint of all this stuff. Paul, Marx's family was a mess, and I'll tell you why, because he was not a man of faith. He provided no patriarchal protection on a spiritual level for his family. He was married to Jenny Julia Eleanor. Together, they had seven children, four of which died at childhood. Jenny Carolyn, first child, died of bladder cancer at age 38. The second child, Jenny Laura, died in a suicide pact with her husband. She was 66 years old when she killed herself with her husband. Charles Edgar died at the age of 8. Henry Guy died at the age of 1 year and 2 months. Fifth child, Jenny Francis, died but at 1 year, 1 month. Jenny Eleanor, a suicide by poisoning herself with prussic acid. She was age 43. And then he had an unnamed child born and died in July 6, 1857. His wife, Eleanor, she died of bladder cancer in March 1881. I mean, I feel sorry for... I can't imagine. Suicide is a hard thing to deal with, but he had two suicides in his family amongst his kids. He wrote also, Paul, I'm not going to read the letters. You can read them on your own if you want to go to the show page and read them for yourself. But he wrote a lot of dark, macabre poems. He was a poet, but Paul, he would allude to the dark side. He would allude to the diabolical. He would talk about suicide in his poems. And in fact, Karl Marx wrote an entire book on suicide, which leads me to believe if in some way, shape, or form, he impelled some of his family members to commit suicide because it seemed like he was fascinated with death.
Yeah, yeah, quite obviously. And, you know, you mentioned just earlier that he thought he was a genius. Well, I'm sure he did have genius, but that genius came from preternatural sources and not his own source, because he is putting forth the philosophy of Satan himself.
Amen. Stick around. We'll continue.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul Clay, two lovers of the Lord Jesus Christ, two lovers of the Blessed Virgin Mary, two lovers of Holy Mother Church, and two sinners working out our salvation in fear and trembling. We don't set ourselves up as any role models. We look to one person and one person alone, our Lord and our Lady. We are fellow sinners. We're fellow travelers along with you. We just happen to be informed. I mean, Paul, we're just Catholics that cut our teeth on good information, cut our teeth on the church's teachings, and cut our teeth. And like you said last week, I remember I liked that you said, Jess, all we are, we're watchmen on the watchtower. And all we're doing is warning the church when the enemies are coming. I thought that was one of the best, because that's exactly what we do here every week on Virgin Most Powerful.
Yep.
Let me mention something about the errors of Russia. Now, we're not dealing with the errors of Russia so much, right? Well, Russia gave us communism. And we were warned about this by our Blessed Virgin Mary appeared to three young children in 1917, and we call that apparition Our Lady of Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's interesting, on that year also is when the Russian Communist Revolution took place, 1917. And Our Lady warned us that Catholics must pray the rosary every day, do the five First Saturday devotions, which basically means to start tracking your life in a state of grace, in a relationship with God. That's what it means. Now, she said, if we don't do this as Catholics, Russia will spread her errors throughout the world. Our Lady warned us about bloody wars in the 20th century. She warned us about the persecution of the church. She warned us about this anti-God movement that would happen. And in fact, what are the errors that Russia has promoted? Well, the errors that Russia has promoted, and now China has embraced it entirely, and Cuba and Venezuela and many other countries, North Korea. It's called communism, which is a wicked political atheistic government system where the church becomes God, lowercase g, and you just become a number.
Government becomes God.
Yes, the government becomes God. They enacted laws to in Russia in 1917, under the Bolshevik Revolution, they started enacting laws to dismantle the family, abolish private property, which is one of the first articles of the Communist Manifesto. No private property. Get that. The Bolsheviks also introduced, guess what? No-fault divorce in 1917. What else did they introduce? Abortion. Abortion started with the Bolsheviks in Russia. And what else that they promote throughout the world? Atheism. Paul, atheism, communism, abortion, no-fault divorce. These are all systematic attacks on the family. Our Lady warned us, and this is the political, diabolical governmental system that we will be fighting until the second coming of Christ. And the Antichrist that gave us this, Antichrist with a small a, is Karl Marx.
Wow. Jess, when I hear you talk and I hear you just lay it out like that, it's amazing to me how so many of the real issues and problems in the world today have just find their genesis in this philosophical viewpoint. It blows my mind. It is amazing. And then the Blessed Mother, of course, who's a part of the Holy Family, warns us about this attack that is literally vehemently opposed to the family, opposed to life in, you know, on every level. It started out with the mass killings in these communist revolutions. And like you just mentioned, all of a sudden we see it manifesting in ideology that, like in China, for example, where they limited the number of children that a family could have. And they were, you know, using forced abortions and forced sterilizations. Again, folks, listen, Jesus said, you will know them by their fruit. And I'm listening to the people in this great reset that they're talking about. And one of the things that one guy quoted is, you'll own nothing and be happy. That's communism, folks. That's the idea that they like to float. We're in for a battle. And it's time to arm up, Jess. It's time to put on our spiritual weapons, the helmet of salvation. You know, Jess, during that commercial, I was listening to the back end of that quote of Saint Augustine, believe so that you may understand. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding come from God. And if as we live in a state of grace and as we walk and meditate on the Word of God, the Word of God will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We will have understanding. And if you think that what we're saying is just completely incredible, I can tell you right now, or not possible, look at your spiritual life, because I can guarantee you that you are not connected if you're not seeing these things plainly.
Paul, look at how inverted Karl Marx's thinking was.
Yep.
Our Lord Jesus Christ talks about over and over again about blessed are the poor.
Mm-hmm.
They shall see God. They shall enter into the kingdom of God. You know, our Lord
Matthew 5.
He says things like, you know, it'll be harder for a rich man to enter into. It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to go into the kingdom of heaven. So Christ is always talking about the virtue. The way he looks at the poor people, poor in spirit, even probably poor in financially, he looks at them as his anawim, the Hebrew word that's my people, or as the youngsters say, my peeps.
Yeah.
The anawim.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the world tells you, no, don't be poor. You've got to be rich. This is what Karl Marx's his whole philosophy was about, getting the blue collar manual labor workers, convince them that they're being exploited by the rich capitalists, and starting this revolution with the working class, the proletariat, to basically overthrow these rich capitalists, and to get, so who now takes over all the means of production? The state does.
Yep.
Take it away from an individual capitalist person, because he's cruel, he's exploiting the proletariat. So now give this power, the state has power over production,
yep,
over the factories.
Yeah.
And so this was exactly Karl Marx's worldview. Take the capitalist system away from the wealthy, give it to the state. The state can do a better job. And by the way, while you're doing that, Karl Marx also said, let's abolish private property. Who needs private property? Oh, and he also says, by the way, no inheritance. If your parents were wealthy, maybe they left you something, life insurance or a car or a house. Guess what? No inheritance. It all goes to the state.
Mm.
Paul, this guy,
well,
he ginned up a system, Paul, to centralize all the power in the hands of the state. Guess what, Paul? That sets us up for the Antichrist.
Oh, there's no doubt about it, Jess. Today it's manifesting itself here in the United States in the idea of wealth redistribution, Jess, right? Have we heard about that? That, you know, they want to redistribute the wealth because, you know, the current system is not fair. But let me tell you something, folks. Pay attention. Look at the net worth of these individuals that are governing us, that go to Congress and, you know, the House of Representatives and the Senate. Look at their wealth before and after, and you'll see that the so-called government that is turning more and more socialist the wealth redistribution is take it from us and give it to them. I hate to say it like that, because many of them, if you follow the money, and there's been scandal after scandal after scandal, the people supposedly representing us are really fattening their own pockets. And that's that greed and that selfishness. Because why? Because Satan is a liar, number one. So this idea of this utopian society is just that, a huge lie. We cannot have a Garden of Eden environment without the Lord. Okay, we cannot have the kingdom without the king, period.
Well said, because that's exactly what the Communist Manifesto is trying to do, is to build a heaven on earth, a utopia on earth. And by the way, Paul, let's just be honest, bringing it down to the very practical, the Democratic Party here in our country has morphed. They've changed, just like you see those cartoons, Transformers, they change. The Democrat Party has morphed back from the party of John F. Kennedy, was a party of limited government and strong military, Paul. The JFK Democrat Party and Robert F. Kennedy, that party's gone. It's morphed now into the Karl Marx Party. And everything we're talking about right now, all Karl Marx's errors are embraced right now by the Democrat Party, specifically the socialists in the party, and they'll call themselves that. They'll call themselves... Right. Many of them call themselves Democrats, Socialists of America, DSA, Bernie Sanders, AOC, many others. Within the party, socialism is just a code word for communism. You don't believe me? You know what USSR stands for? Union of Soviet Socialist Republic.
Wow. Communism. Listen, not only that, just our universities are littered with so-called professors, you know, putting out these ideas, and now they have fully embraced Marxism. They are fully engaged in tearing down anything that has to do with the Constitution of the United States. Not all of them, thank God. There's a few conservatives out there, but the large majority of the professors out there, every once in a while, you know, I like to peruse and pick up some of those lectures. And wow, it's amazing to me how they are so embracing of these communist ideas.
Paul, we'll continue this. Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Paul K. Speaking the truth in charity.
Yes,
we'll be
Lord.
Right back. Sacred Heart of Jesus, we place our trust in thee. We'll be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, we place our trust in thee. This is the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Paul McClay, Jess Romero. We're talking about Karl Marx and his errors. If Catholics want to get a deep dive into this and you really want to go deep, there's a book written by a friend of mine, Dr. Paul Kanger. He's a former evangelical who became Catholic. He wrote a book called The Devil and Karl Marx. It's put out by Tan Books. Dr. Paul Kanger, I think he still teaches at Hillsdale College at a Protestant, one of the good conservative Protestant colleges, but he's fully embraced the Catholic faith. And again, he did a deep dive into this. Dr. Paul Kanger, in his book, what he demonstrates there is that every single place where Marxist philosophy has been tried, you could talk about, there's not a single exception to this rule. Everywhere where Marx's ideas have been tried, everything's gotten worse. Not by a little, but by a lot. What I mean by that? Take a look at the Soviet Union, Eastern Europe, China, North Korea, North Vietnam, Cuba, Venezuela, Bolivia, Zimbabwe. Wherever Marxism has been tried, economies collapse, terror reigns, and famine follows. And so one of the big errors of Marxism that he repeats over and over again in his writings, he says, you know, about sharing. He had this view of sharing. It wasn't Christ's view of sharing. freely and voluntarily. Marx says that the government has to redistribute the wealth, and he would always say this, quote, from each according to his ability to each according to his needs. That's classic Marxism. In other words, the government's going to decide how many gallons of milk the Romero family needs a month based on how many people live here. How many, packs of loaves of bread the Clay House needs every month. So it's the government that makes these determinations. And this is about giving the state the complete ruling power over all of us. And again, this is the type of absolute power that Marx promoted. And people like Lenin and Mao and Pol Pot, they followed him right to the very letter. And Paul, the Democrat Party is going down this rabbit hole.
There's no doubt about it. And I'll add to what you said. They not only want to determine how many gallons of milk the Romero family needs, but they also grade you on how well you toe the party line. You know, as long as you embrace the party line, which is in, you know, currently, you know, in communism, it's atheism. But I want to talk about something else, Jess. Communism is like a chameleon, and that's at its beginning, yes, it is humanistic and atheist, but this current form of Marxism that we see is embracing religion, but not pure religion, not good religion, not the religion of God, but the religion of Satan, the religion of the world, where this false ecumenism that says, hey, let's not talk about our differences. Let's focus in on the things that we have in common with each other. Let's talk about the good stuff and totally put the blinders on, ignoring all the obvious things. One prime example I can think of is, it says in the Quran, God's name is Allah. He was neither begotten, nor has he begotten anyone. Well, Jesus himself said, if you deny me, the Son, you deny the Father that sent me, period. The two cannot coexist. That is a contradiction. You must choose either what Jesus is saying is true or what the Quran is saying is true, but they both cannot be true.
Amen. Paul, and once again, the Marxist philosophy today, the Marxists in this country, they do embrace false religions. For example, Antifa and Black Lives Matters are aligned with the witches in this country and the Satanists,
yep,
who have an organized weekly sessions on social media where they place hexes and curses on when President Trump was in office, they were cursing him and his administration. And so and these guys are all card carrying Democrats that voted with their Biden stickers and their Bernie Sanders hats. And they're all avowed witches and Satanists.
Yeah. And what about the spirit cooking we heard when Hillary was running? You know,
absolutely. They do embrace religion, but it's the false religion. It's the dark religion. It's the satanic religions. And Paul, and you can see this, Karl Marx, in this article we have, he wrote a lot of poems. And a lot of his poems always alluded to the diabolical and to evil. And it's interesting that his father, at his 55th birthday, I guess Karl Marx used to write poems to his father. His father even thought that my son, and he says, quote, Marx's father writes to his son. He says, only if your heart remains pure and beats humanly, and if no demon will be able to alienate your heart from better feelings, only then will I be happy. So when you read this letter, the longer letter that Marx's father wrote to Karl Marx, his son, in 1837, his father's expressing the fact that he's afraid that his son Karl Marx is under some type of demonic influence. And you can see this because all you got to do is read the poems of Karl Marx, and the guy's always talking about the occult and the dark side. And again, even in the Communist Manifesto, the very basis and foundation of communism, what most people who don't know about the Communist Manifesto, is that the draft document was called the Communist Question of Faith. And if you look at the Communist Question of Faith, which was a draft document for the Communist Manifesto, in question 22, it asks about communism, and it says this, question 22, do communists reject existing religions? Karl Marx answers. He says, all religions which have existed hitherto were expressions of historical stages of development of individual peoples or groups of peoples, but communism is that stage of historical development which makes all existing religions superfluous and supersedes them. The most important objective of communism was eradicating religion. And what he's talking about there, Paul, he's talking about Christianity, the Judeo-Christian ethic. That's what he's talking about.
Yep. That is exactly what he's talking about. And that's exactly why in our lifetime, you know, we're feeling the heat, Jess. We're feeling the, you know, we're watching the world right before our eyes transform. We're watching our culture and our society move towards these destructive ideologies. And again, as we watch what's going on in Israel, as we see, you know, how exactly like sacred scripture tells us that you know, they would be a burden to the nations and the nations, they'd be surrounded by enemies. We see all these things happen. And I don't claim to be an expert on eschatology, but I do know enough to know that the stage is set exactly as sacred scripture has told us. And I'm not saying that God can't, suppress these evil things and extend us more time. But if he doesn't, we're on the fast track to the end of the world.
That, yeah, absolutely, because this plays right into Catholic eschatology. Catholic eschatology obviously ends in victory with the second coming of Christ.
Amen.
But prior to that, you have the coming of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist is going to establish a one-world government. Everything you see about these Marxist, socialist, communists in the world today, this is exactly where they're trying to push the Great Reset. All this stuff is about, well, one world government. Well, guess what? Anybody who knows Catholic eschatology knows that this plays right into end time scenario with the Antichrist. And again, one of my old books on the Antichrist that I have from 10, written back in 1931, the priest there, he writes that the political system that the Antichrist will wrap himself around will be communism.
Yep. You see, Jess, this isn't just you and I saying this. All we are is gathering all the, we've been collectively given the mind of Christ in the church, you know, and God has gifted certain individuals with certain words of knowledge. And we're just looking back and saying, this holy priest said this. This church father said this, and it all comes together just amazing. It is amazing to me, and it for me, it just builds my faith. Doesn't cause me to be hopeless, Jess. It makes me hopeful because I realize, Maranatha, Lord, come, Lord Jesus, come.
Amen. And as Catholics, we have to remember the way this all ends. We win. Complete wipeout. And again, we serve a 12-star general, the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Yes,
Catholic, Lord. Let's pray the rosary every day. Let's read your Bible every day. Paul, the church fathers tell us that when you read the Bible, as you open up the Bible, St. John Chrysostom says, demons that watch you opening up the Bible to read God's word, they flee your presence. They cannot be around a Christian who's opening the word of God. And so as Catholics, let's inflict maximum damage to demons. How do you inflict maximum damage and torment and drive these demons away from you and your family? Pray the rosary every day. Meditation is a powerful form of prayer against the diabolical. Read your Bible every single day. They cannot look. They cannot be in the presence of somebody reading God's word. And also, live a holy life. Holiness, the call to holiness, this is what protects you from the diabolical. Demons cannot be in the presence of holiness. Demons are called unclean spirits, and they're attracted to unclean people. So let's live in a state of grace. Let's become holy or die trying. Catholics, know your faith, live your faith, and spread your faith. There's nothing else to do with the rest of our life.
Amen, brother. Well said. Well said. You know, and I will just remind people, read the Bible, read the Word of God out loud. Let it come right across your lips and speak the Word of God out there, because when you do, it's a sword, and it's able to cut through anything.
That's right. Hey, that's a wrap. EOW, end of watch, 10-7, out of service to a retired cop for Christ. Up next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics, coming from the Windmills Command Center. And to the rest of you, just remember, pray, hope, and don't worry. Worry is useless. God is merciful, and he will hear your prayers. We're out.